Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
You know what? I'd like to say you're wrong, Molly, but you're not wrong very often.
David Haw.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Here's Dosunmu driving on McDaniels and puts it up and in. That was a tough shot. Drummond picks up the bounce with a handoff to Dragic. Dragic against Rozier. They go back to Drummond with right-handed stuff on Plumlee. Jump pass right side, Kobe. No hesitation. Three. Bam! Kobe White from DeMar DeRozan. Mid-range jumper, no. Put back left-handed dunk. Derek Jones Jr. Vooch with the spin on Hayward. Up top, DeRozan steps in. Three ball, good. Here's your all-star, DeMar DeRozan. Back it in, deep in the lane. Finds Dosunmu, dribble drive, runs into Plumlee and scores on a reverse. What a play by Ayo Dosunmu, who challenged the big man, Mason Plumlee, and scores. He's 9 of 10 from the field. Charlotte's not even going to attempt a shot, and they shouldn't. And that's going to be the ball game. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 114 to 98.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
On 670 The Score.
Let's dance. Let's party. Let's boogie.
Let's go.
Yes, indeed. Let's dance. Let's party. Let's boogie. That's weird. That's weird. Let's boogie all the way to the trade deadline.
I'm so glad that Chuck got to dance.
Close. Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. It feels like it's been a long time. Yeah. And you know that when you... It's like if you exercise and you don't get a chance to go running, you start to feel a little bit antsy, bottled up, frustrated. Chuck being able to dance, just get it all out after that victory, had to feel a little cathartic.
I just think that, you know, the problem with the Bulls is they lost to that team last time out. And that's very disappointing because that's a team you should beat. You should win at home against bad teams, period, end of story. But teams like that, you got to be able to beat on a regular basis if you're going to be a playoff team.
Yes, you absolutely have to take care of business. We question them because they have earned our skepticism whether or not they'd be able to do what they're supposed to do. They did it last night, not because of maybe the big three, if you will, but because of the bottom tier. The bench guys came through in a big way. Io, you had the role players. How about... Drummond.
Yeah.
How about Andre Drummond? This is a guy fallen out of favor, not been in the rotation, not pouted, comes up last night, 15 minutes, 15 points, 11 rebounds, and this is the best part, Bully. This takes us back to the first time that's happened. A guy has had a double-double in that little amount of time since 1978-79 season. Daryl Dawkins.
Chocolate Thunder.
Chocolate Thunder.
Yeah. Daryl Dawkins, what a character.
Didn't he go straight from high school to the NBA?
I think he did. Yeah.
And
a lot of guys did in those times.
He was part of that great Sixer run where they had that great lineup with Dr. J, George McGinnis, World Be Free.
Was he part of that?
I think he was part of that.
He just like a high school kid?
I think he was a role player. Huh. One of these guys that was a big force in the...
I remember World Be Free like yesterday. I remember The Good Doctor. I can't say I remember...
Daryl Dawkins?
As a part of that. I mean, I remember he was a big dude. You know, he was
Here's why I remember it. My older brother liked the way that Dawkins played. You know, didn't he shatter a backboard?
He shattered backboard.
And so he was almost like this icon for... guys who were maybe more burly and were just physical players. And so I remember my brother liking Daryl Dawkins, having one of those big posters. Remember the Sports Illustrated posters you used to buy? Having one on the wall, and it was Chocolate Thunder. And so I was always a Daryl Dawkins fan. So when I saw that note last night, Andre Drummond doing something that hasn't been done in the NBA since Daryl Dawkins, it brought a smile to my face.
Yeah, that is wild. Now I got to spend some time looking up Daryl Dawkins. And wow, that is, how old is Daryl Dawkins at this point?
I don't think he's
he is 58?
Is with us. He passed away.
He died in 2015. Ah, damn it. What happened?
I don't know.
Was it drugs related?
I am not sure, but I think that he
fairly
may
young age.
His son may be playing college basketball. He might be in the Big Ten. Is he at Penn State?
He passed away due to a heart attack.
A heart attack. I'm sorry.
Great NBA career, though.
Yeah.
One of those characters in the NBA. Played for a long, long time. Hmm. So he was part of some of those great Sixers teams that played against Bill Walton in the finals. Yeah.
Take 75 to 82 with the Sixers.
Those were the
days.
And
did he come out? Did he come out as a
out of high school? Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, he was a giant.
And you know who was on that team, but I forgot the biggest link locally. Doug Collins was in that backcourt.
Wow.
Doug Collins could remember what Daryl Dawkins was like and the force he was in the paint. How many backboards he might have shattered at a practice in Philly back in the day. Oh, we'll go way back.
Yeah, now I'm stuck in this
Now you're stuck in the 80s.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, he was unbelievable.
What a game for the Bulls. They
needed
that. He was
a big personality, too.
Oh, great,
I'm sorry.
Great personality.
Does it make you more likely now to trade Vooch, knowing that you got a center?
I'm going to go back to what Casey Johnson said to us yesterday, was it? That you can't, and he wasn't lecturing, but this was a good reminder. Nothing that happens on Thursday night is going to change the mindset about the trade deadline. You can't be that back and forth. You can't be swayed by one performance. So whatever happened last night is irrelevant. To the trade talk and speculation.
And you would hope it would be. But I think it's interesting that nobody seems to know what the Bulls are thinking.
Oh, that is interesting, isn't it?
They are pretty much keeping their own counsel, and there's not like a ton of rumors around the NBA. Usually if a team is planning to do something, and Casey pointed out, when they went out and got Vooch, it was the same situation. It was kind of an under-the-radar. It wasn't like there was all sorts of conjecture as to what they would be.
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's what might have affected the trade deadline last night in a way that you didn't anticipate or want. Alex Caruso left the game, and he has an injury that you don't know about, his sprained right foot and what that might mean to his availability moving forward. So you can bet that teams interested in Alex Caruso are going to want some clarity about that injury before they're willing to make a deal. So in that way, maybe the trade deadline conversations were affected. In other ways, unlikely, because I don't know that anybody had that kind of game where you're like, oh yeah, he's got to go, or yeah, he's more valuable now. But injuries will dictate interest as much as anything.
Yeah, no question about it. If you were planning on moving someone, you got an issue now if they got a bad foot or whatever it might be, turned an ankle. Not suggesting that those were the players they were going to move, but that would be an issue if indeed you had some sort of plan in the back of your mind. It would definitely impact it if that player was hurt. It's just as simple as that. So we have no idea what the Bulls are planning on doing. We do know that they are 6 days away from getting that done. That's coming fast. And it'll be really interesting to see what they do, if they do it. I heard Dustin mention the tankathon stuff. You know, they still convey their draft pick to the Orlando Magic unless it's in the top four. It's not in the top four. Right now, it's fairly low.
So if you get into the tankathon conversation, it really is an irrelevant conversation or a moot point in Chicago.
Right.
So
they would need to they need to be in the lottery, and they'd need to win the lottery or move ahead of where they're at in order to not convey that pick.
I know you're a big tankathon guy.
You know I love it, man.
That's 20. It's 23.1% now after the win last night for a top four pick, and 5.2% for the number one overall pick. And I can, you know, it is definitely Chicago to Orlando is the way that pick goes.
I don't know that that's that relevant for Bulls fans right now, is it?
Yeah, I don't think.
Do you think it is?
I think come draft time.
Well, I think it just says like how bad they are.
It says where they are. They're right. Stuck in the middle. They're in basketball NBA purgatory.
It just if you needed, if you weren't quite sure where you were leaning on, like should the Bulls be buyers or sellers or in and out? Like I think that just is another check mark on they should be sellers.
It also shows you or reminds you, unfortunately, about how, in retrospect, bad that Vucevic deal was.
It wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah. What did they give up? They gave up
Wendell Carter Jr. and two firsts.
And two firsts, one of which ended up, it was used already. They gave up something else. They gave up another player with Carter.
At the time,
I don't know if there's anyone good. I'll look that up.
You did have to do something to create instant or regain some credibility, right? You wanted to make a move. You wanted to be bold, aggressive, and make a statement there. So I understood the logic behind it. It just hasn't aged well at all.
Also, Otto Porter Jr.
Otto Porter Jr. was in that trade.
And I don't think Otto Porter Jr., though, played a second for the Magic.
Actually, I think it was Otto Porter Jr.'s contract. Otto Porter Jr. stayed wherever he was. They just shipped the contract via FedEx in an envelope.
Now, both, it's a 2021 and a 2023 first-round picks. Both of those are top four protected. So I guess how it matters is if you want the Bulls to, like, absolutely tank the rest of the way out, if they can get into that top four somehow, then they wouldn't have to give it up.
I don't think that's realistic, though. I just don't think it's that bad.
Well, I mean, it depends how much they sell, though, right? I mean, if you were to sell DeRozan and if you took DeRozan and Vooch off this team, they could get pretty bad pretty quick. I mean,
when
your $250 million player scores 8 points in the first quarter and then doesn't score again until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but they didn't really need him. I mean, DeMar had 15 points. He's their all-star. And Zach LaVine had what, 10 points?
10 points.
That game never felt like it was out of hand, though.
You never felt.
Oh,
like,
it got to six.
Yeah,
it
but they were leading the whole way. They never trailed.
It was the Hornets, though. It wasn't another. Maybe, okay. I'm not going to argue with you over the third quarter of a Bulls game in February.
The third quarter is actually when the Bulls did well, surprisingly.
I'm not going to argue with you over the back and forth.
I felt nervous at one point. This is the game, David. This was the game for myself anyway to digest last night. I mean, as I watched it, I had angst. I had angst, and I thought, "Darn it! I should have done what we talked about, which is live betting whoever the Bulls are playing in the second half because it got within six. And I'm telling you, I think that number was pretty big. The Hornets were probably very plus a lot live betting last night.
So all the conversation surrounding the Bulls is not necessarily about whether or not they were going to hold off the Hornets at home in February on a weeknight game. Although the drama, I'm sorry it brought you angst. Most of the conversation would be surrounding Zach LaVine and whether or not they're going to get rid of him. And we heard from, I think, who a lot of people were waiting to hear from, Charles Barkley and the TNT crew addressing Zach at the deadline and what the Bulls should do.
Chuck, do you keep LaVine or you move him?
I think you move him.
Kobe White?
Personally.
For two?
I mean, they're not going anywhere. You got to start over at some point. You can't play to be the 8 seed in the play-in, all that junk.
All that junk.
It really is junk, isn't it?
So do you think that, and there were reports, I think, from ESPN.com, the suitors are lining up.
Right.
There are as many as four teams that would be interested in these kind of conversations. Do you think behind the scenes, very quietly, we haven't heard much, do you think that teams are making offers for Zach?
Boy, it'd be nice. I mean, it'd just be nice to have choices. I would hope that they are listening to everyone. That's what you do. I like the way they kind of keep their own counsel. I like that there aren't all these wild rumors floating around with the Bulls. We'll get into that. But I do hope that they're having conversations with literally every team in the league. And I hope that they are. I hope there's multiple suitors, because the reality of life is the more people that express interest in your guys, the more likely you are to be able to kind of, well, they're offering this and we're looking for that, that kind of thing. You can get more. They need to get more, and they need to. The Lonzo Ball thing throws an incredible wrench into the works, because he has no timeline. I mean,
well, the
think
Lonzo
about
Ball
that.
Thing, you mean the Lonzo Ball unavailability?
Oh,
not that he's even like thinking of coming back.
The reality that he doesn't even have a timeline.
The reality that he may not return until next season to the NBA, if at all.
If at all.
If at all.
And David, I think that the team that you envisioned, you're never going
to
see it.
And I think that's the hard reality to accept if you are AK, if you are Mark Eversley, because it's difficult to come off that point once you establish a vision and everything you do surrounding that first is in that direction, because you made the first big move and you, to this point, really are defined by that.
Right.
But are you going to allow yourself to be limited by that? And that's the thing that we don't know about Karnišovas, is that how stubborn is he? How much does he dig in to be the guy that has to be right? I don't know that, because you're talking about a trade that we just talked about did not age well with Vooch and the Magic. We're talking about a decision to give Zach LaVine a max contract that really doesn't look right now, halfway into this first season under that deal, that it was the wisest investment.
Okay, I got to stop you on that one, because I understood why people thought that was a bad contract moving forward, but I think he was hurt in the beginning of this year. Now, the pushback that the players had with him and that the coaches had with him, that's a separate issue.
Well, let me say, I agree with you, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I thought it was the right decision at the time to invest in that contract, and I think his struggles early on were related to not knowing how healthy his knee was.
Right.
And now you're seeing him at times look like the player that you think he should be, but at other times it just his frustrations reflect a team that doesn't quite fit together the way everybody envisioned. So now what do you do?
Right.
Now what do you do? Can you move that contract? Because look, in reputable outlets, this isn't just some fly-by-night operation. I think ESPN.com floated a trade scenario involving the Lakers yesterday. And then you find yourself doing the math, and like, okay, well, if Russell Westbrook's contract comes to Chicago and they get their first-round pick then, how do you feel about that? And you're doing the math, and you're trying to figure out in your head, and like, okay, could this possibly happen? It's one of those things where we're going to be driving next week sometime, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, and it's going to come across on Twitter, and somebody's going to report the Bulls have pulled off this deal, and like, oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe that happens, but I don't think it's going to be the obvious candidate. I think that if that does happen, you'll be like, wow. I think it'll surprise you where the player is going. I don't think he's going to the Lakers. I don't know. I just think the obvious choices aren't always the ones that
you're right, especially with a stealth executive.
Yeah.
And a front office that has kept things very, very tight-lipped and close.
And this is different than the sleuth being your GM, right? I mean, this is a totally different deal than Jerry kind of – this is a different cat, and this is more – there's more intrigue into this, and I'll say this, and I'm probably an idiot, and everyone will get mad at me for saying it, but there's this kind of Eastern European element to it. It's like you're not even sure what the – who the secret agents are that are being sent to different places. There is this real kind of cloak and dagger
thing. You kind of like envisioning and casting AK as a basketball spy.
I do. I like him. I like the idea.
Yeah. International man of intrigue.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. He's going all over the place. He's looking at everything. He's not just limiting himself. I have a very high opinion of AK. And I think of him as like this kind of, basketball genius type guy that is out and about and doing things and making moves behind the scenes. And I don't know why, because obviously there's a flawed team. I'm going to give him a pass on it because he never got the Lonzo Ball piece. That was obviously the piece that intrigued him most. He liked the way the guy spaced the floor and ran a team. And, you know, that has been a huge absence and a real problem with this.
You know, I agree with that. You know that I am supportive of that idea as well. But I also wonder that in doing so, are we both giving him a pass that the previous regime would never have gotten? Never have gotten.
Yes.
And I think, and maybe not even just the previous regime.
That's true.
I think that sometimes when you have front offices that have been in place for a while and things like this would have happened, you just explained very well in a fair way. You evaluated, you criticized, whatever the case may be. Lonzo Ball's injury changed the plan forever.
Yeah.
But injuries are not often an excuse for those decisions.
I totally agree. And you know, that we never saw the old Bulls play. We never saw the team that was envisioned actually get on the floor. And here we go again. It is the damnedest curse I've ever seen, that you keep putting together these teams that never have the pieces.
I agree with that frustration, because for the one of the most indelible marks of the Bulls over the last 20 years in the post-Jordan era was the injury to Derrick Rose. You never got to see what would happen with that regime being able to realize everything and see that plan come to fruition.
Right.
Likewise, lesser degree, but likewise, what you're saying and I'm agreeing with is that Lonzo Ball was part of plan A.
Your point guard.
$80 million investment.
Yep.
That's a huge investment into your point guard who is never going to be able to get a chance to realize that potential.
He's not a big scorer. He's just a guy that runs the team. It's pretty interesting. He's obviously a big defensive guard. It was funny. I think last night of the broadcast, Stacy said something along the lines of, you know, if you get, you know, or when you get Lonzo Ball back, now you're going to have two big defenders. He was including Io because he's developed into a pretty good, like all of a sudden you'll have a very good defensive backcourt. And you know, Caruso was on this team as well. It would be really interesting to see those guys all play together. I don't know that we're ever going to.
Love the optimism, but the reality is Io could be traded. Lonzo Ball may never be coming back. And if you're Alex Caruso, you're a defensive specialist on a team that's flirting with the eighth seed, you really don't need that guy on this team if you're not a contender.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of the NBA. And I know that it looks good in theory, and it's decent on paper, but it's never going to happen.
The worst part about it is, like, all of the flaws that are built into this roster, right? No rim protection, no three-point shooters, all the things we see on a nightly basis. If you hadn't had the point guard go down, the floor is spaced differently. Maybe there's better three-point shooting. He was one of your better three-point shooters. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what this team would have looked like? But I don't think we're ever going to see it. I think if you look at his career, he just misses a lot of time. Even when he's healthy, he can only play.
It was the risk when they signed
that
him.
That was the risk when they
it
signed him.
It was the stated gamble.
And it's bitten them pretty hard.
And it has backfired in a bad way. And I also want to say that we are big Billy Donovan fans here. We have kind of talked about that this week as he's received some criticism. One question I think is a fair one. Why, if you have a player like Andre Drummond, who is productive and a veteran and a guy that gives you some heft in the paint, rebounding and otherwise, why is he out of the rotation? That's what I don't think has been fully explained.
I think the reason is that he's very good when you're playing against a big man, but I think when you're not, you want to play through Vooch. And you want to space the floor differently.
It's too cloggy.
The fact that you have no spacing from the point guard position is the problem. So I don't think those two guys can play together on the floor at the same time. This doesn't seem like they can.
Probably not.
And then you're trying to play through Vooch to get more spacing, and he's used to playing that pick and roll game, so he's pretty good at distributing the ball.
It's just when you see 15 and 11 in 15 minutes, you're like, where has this guy been?
Yeah.
He looks like Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah. Now we go back to Daryl.
Chocolate Thunder.
That was my first thought when I heard it. Supposedly Stevie Wonder gave him that nickname. Is that true? Did anyone ever hear that?
I did not hear that one.
I thought there was some story back from my childhood.
He was a character.
Again, I could be wrong about everything. I haven't looked at this stuff in 20-something years. So God bless. I haven't thought about Daryl Dawkins, and he did tear down rims, man. I mean,
that was
super cool.
A force in the paint.
All right, 3-1, and in those days, you like that, right? And these days, I don't know, as we're talking about with Andre Drummond, I'm not sure.
I don't know that he would be a modern NBA player.
Yeah.
But he was great in the 80s.
All right, we've got the pick six. We're going to tear apart all the stories of the day. We got a lot of fun questions today. I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to do that next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you like seeing DeMar DeRozan named to the All-Star game? What will aid the Bulls in trading him? Seriously, what did you make of Zach Lowe saying in his podcast that multiple NBA teams he's talked to have no idea what the Bulls are going to do now, less than a week away from the NBA trade deadline?
Yeah, you know, I find that fascinating. I mean, I find it really interesting that a lot of teams in the league have no idea what direction the Bulls are going. I'm very pleased DeMar DeRozan made the All-Star game because that's his sixth time. I would think he would have made it more. It felt like it was a gift to him to give him the All-Star. It's like a nod to his career, which is wonderful, but it may be a makeup for some previous ones. But he definitely belongs in that group. He's a really good player, and he's had a spectacular career. So I'm very pleased that he got that gift, but it does feel like a gift. It doesn't feel like, wow, DeMar, you know, he just shot his way into the All-Star game. The Bulls are struggling. They've been struggling all year long. So I'm pleased because it gives me something to watch. You know, I don't like watching a lot of All-Star type competitions if there aren't local guys represented. So I like to have somebody to cheer for and someone to kind of take my attention away from the doldrums that we apparently have these days with Pro Bowl / All-Star competitions. We'll get into that later. But I love the fact that no one knows what the Bulls are doing. I hope they know. I hope that they've got like a very well-oiled strategic type of plan that they're going to suddenly throw upon us, and we're going to be sitting here jaw agape as they build a super championship team. That's my hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see DeMar get that nod. I always feel like it's almost everything with the NBA All-Star game is a year behind. I mean, James Harden is having a really good year, and he's not part of it. But last year, he had a disappointing year. So is that maybe the justification? And couldn't we have some more guys with load management always being a thing in the NBA? I mean, how many minutes do you want? Like, I'm glad DeMar's going there, but how many minutes do we want to see DeMar DeRozan playing in that game, right? Like, I mean, should it's almost like they should have like 20 guys, like four teams of five. Like, this is going to be the first quarter unit, and then you're done. Here's the second quarter unit, you're done. Here's your third quarter unit, you're done. Here's your fourth quarter unit, you're done. I think that would be an interesting way also of seeing it, like four different mini games within a big game.
Do you like guys just turning up and you're going to have a pick and we're going to play on this team or that team? I mean, wouldn't you prefer to know?
I kind of like the backyard pick 'em deal. I do actually like that format. Okay. And this, you know, part of this question, Mully, goes along with what David mentioned. You know, the man of mystery, AK, mysterious man, and nobody knows exactly what he's going to be doing. So I think that does fit.
Yeah, you like that. I think the intrigue, you hope, isn't a sign of indecision. You like the fact that people are guessing and they don't know how to read AK because they've not experienced much of him running a team. But I don't know if they know. I hope they do. They should. by now. So the clock is ticking loudly, loudly at the Advocate Center. As for the All-Star selection, I'm half expecting at some point this morning that the NBA is going to issue a last two-minute report on the All-Star voting, and DeMar's out. So and he's out.
Now, because, that would be really mean, David.
Well, they've got it wrong before. Did they get it wrong again? I don't think he deserves an All-Star appearance based on this season. This is a reward for the last part of last season and the first part of this one. This is a career achievement award. James Harden belongs. Jalen Brunson got snubbed.
I think Jalen Brunson's going to be there next year. You know what I mean?
It's but just, that doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you.
This is the All-Star game.
It just seems like that's what's the problem.
For this
they're a year behind.
You know what, though? I mean, given the way that this guy has reacted to even like the trip to Paris, I think he's in a real interesting.
Well, guys,
kind of
I understand that
stage.
We're looking at this from a very provincial point
yes,
of view,
exactly.
And we love DeMar DeRozan. I think it's great for him. It is a career achievement type of thing. But you know what? They're in Philadelphia, probably saying this morning, "Boy, James Harden really has matured this year." And look at his numbers. It would have been great for him to go to Utah. They're right.
But
Jalen Brunson, same deal.
But I think DeMar DeRozan will be there. He'll look around. He'll navel gaze. He'll concentrate.
I know, but
it's just a beautiful
story. That's not
story.
The question.
Okay.
The question is,
did
he deserve this? And I don't know that he did.
Right.
There have been other years that maybe he did and he got overlooked. He has had a career of being overlooked. But I don't know. We're going to spend the first half of the season complaining about the Bulls' inconsistency and then say, oh, this is a great idea. Send him to the All-Star game.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, Big Dave.
There's the voice of Jeff Joniak. He'll be here at 8 o'clock with you guys after seeing Sean Payton go to the Broncos for a first-round pick and then a swap of 2024 second-rounders for a third-rounder. Can you name any coach for whom you'd give up a first-round pick?
Bill Belichick. End of story. Period. Paragraph. No, this is crazy to me. We spend the rest of the year salivating over the possibility of what draft pick your team is going to get. We value these draft picks like they are gold, crypto, whatever the case may be. You place such a value on these draft picks. And then you're saying, well, let's get a coach in here and we'll give up these draft picks for the right coach because we're going to ask him to coach a team that doesn't have as much talent as it should because we gave away all the draft picks to get him. I think Belichick is one of those guys that probably you could justify that. I think that they gave up way too much for Sean Payton. I love Sean Payton. I pay Sean Payton as much as the Broncos are paying him. He's a rich man. That's not the case. There is no salary cap for a coach. But I do think there should be some sort of checks and balance here because what are you doing here? Look at your roster. You could use those picks. And you know who looks pretty smart this week, this year? Nick Sirianni. You know why he looks so smart? Look at his roster. Look at those draft picks. Look what they did to give him a roster that he basically is a guy that shows up, acts the part, pushes the right buttons, and I don't know if it's the roster or the coach, but I'm leaning toward the roster.
I mean, if we're talking about the Bears specifically without mentioning their name, but I'm going to answer this for the Bears. They're so far away from, I think, the coach being the difference to get from point B to point A. So they're not there yet. I did find it interesting, though. Brandon Stokley with you guys yesterday talked about the fact of, like, they need a coach in Denver, and you're going to see how important the coach is in Denver. But at the same time, he supported his former teammate Jeff Saturday as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So I thought that was interesting. I would not give up those kinds of draft assets for any coach. But I want to say, ask me next year. Like, ask me after the next year of development, hopefully, of Justin Fields. And if they're not there, like, oh boy, could you imagine Justin Fields with Sean Payton, which we kind of dreamt about in a question yesterday, right? You know, what could have been potentially, right? And could you have hooked those two guys up and what would the progress be? I think he is the perfect guy. You can't get out from underneath the quarterback situation they have in Denver. So I think this is the perfect guy at the perfect time. It just doesn't make any sense for the Bears, but for the Broncos, maybe.
You know, I think that trading for a coach has worked for the most part, right? There have been seven coaches traded. Don Shula went on to win Super Bowls, right? Parcells had already won, did not win again when traded. Mike Holmgren went to a Super Bowl, having won one. He went to one with Seattle. Bill Belichick is the greatest advertisement for trading for a coach we've ever seen. And he was phenomenal. Problem is, Bill's 70 years old. I would not trade for him right now. John Gruden was traded and won. Herm Edwards was traded for. That was not a good idea. And Bruce Arians. They had to pay a draft pick to get Bruce Arians, and he won a Super Bowl. So if you're going to win a Super Bowl, it's well worth the investment. I think right now the best coaches in the NFL, as I said, Belichick's 70. I believe Andy Reid is 64.
Yes.
I don't know that I want to try to rebuild for 3 or 4 years with a guy in his mid-60s or a guy in his 70s. But I think that there are some coaches that intrigue me. I think that Mike Tomlin is a great football coach. And you want to get good and you want to change your culture and you want to make a run at the playoffs, that's your guy. Maybe you win a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. I'd be all over trading a pick for a guy like that. I would have no problem trading a pick for Kyle Shanahan. I think that he's going to get you there. He's going to change your culture, etc. And I think those names would fit with this list of seven coaches.
Maybe we get back to this because I agree with you in terms of the history of trading for coaches and the examples you cite. But I do wonder, given the way that you have seen the league evolve, have teams ever placed more value on draft picks? Is this the golden age of the draft pick? Because
of the quarterback.
Because of the quarterback. Yeah. And because of the way that, Molly, we just got done enduring a season, and that's the right word,
yeah,
based around the idea that it was okay because of the draft pick. So I don't know if we're in that stage where now we're going to go away and say, okay, you know what, these aren't worth as much as we just said they were for 3-4 months. We're going to trade one of those for the right coach. So I wonder about that moving forward. We should get back to it.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Great question.
There he is, Joe Fortenbaugh, 7:45. Get out the pencil and paper. How much time did you devote to the Pro Bowl Skills Showdown last night? Given the Bulls were playing, do you anticipate spending more time soaking in the Pro Bowl game on Sunday afternoon? Who is your favorite Manning brother, and will that influence your touch football pick?
I did not spend a minute with the Pro Bowl Skills. Now, I did tape it. And I did glance at how it looked, and I'm curious.
I taped it.
I'm going to go home. I've got a little bit of time before my wife comes home, before the family is complete, and I am going to use it by watching Pro Bowl. I'm going to watch the dodgeball. I can't help it. And I guess Derek Carr threw the ball very accurately, so that's fun. I love that kind of stuff. I was watching the Bulls, and I didn't even – click over for fear that I would get too caught up in it. But I'm going to watch the Pro Bowl. I'm going to watch the touch football game. I mean, I'm interested that maybe someone says something on the broadcast that I like. I can't help it. I've got this addiction that I got this itch I got to scratch. And I would say that Peyton's probably my favorite Manning brother, but I will go with Eli to win. I think Eli does pretty well. I think there'll be some helmet catch or something in a tag football game somehow.
About 45 seconds. If I knew it would have been on, I might have planned more accordingly, and now I am disappointed. Molly, can I come over later and watch it on the DVR?
You are more than invited.
I did not DVR it, and I think the dodgeball part is something that I would find interesting. I always liked dodgeball.
It's a Friday, Dustin. We could do some day drinking.
Right. But I turned it on. I stumbled upon it as I was looking for things to watch, I think, during a Bulls timeout. As David pointed out, it was just a game in February, so why bother watching? But I saw them, like, fielding a punt. And they were, like, standing around in this, like, dank-looking...
Yeah.
I'm like, what? It almost looked like the Combine, sort of. Like, there was no identification of players. They were, like, in T-shirts and matching shorts. And some guy I didn't know was, like, catching a punt. And I'm like, what is this? Do you guys remember the Wide World of Sports, though?
Yeah.
When they used to do those challenges, like, like
superstars.
Olympic, yeah, that,
superstars.
Like,
yeah.
That would be like that would be so
obstacle
cool.
Course.
Obstacle course.
You get somebody hurt that way.
But it was fun.
You get somebody hurt.
But if they can play dodgeball, I'm not disagreeing with you. But if they can, I'm not saying flag football on a beach.
Apparently,
you remember what happened
Saquon
then.
Barkley, like was a force of God in the dodgeball game. So I can't wait to see it.
Dustin seems like the kind of kid that I might have targeted in a dodgeball game.
Oh, absolutely.
So I kind of love the dodgeball, but I didn't watch it. I was at NBC Sports Chicago last night. I was waiting for the show, Football Night in Chicago, and I watched it because it was on in the green room, and I did actually invest about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh.
Derek Carr was outstanding.
Yeah.
I like Derek Carr as well, and I loved what he had to say about not giving in on his contract because he wants to force the Raiders to pay him, and that's a different story.
Right.
So,
David, what kind of skills, like what was he doing? Like, for those that didn't see it.
I saw him throwing the ball around.
I mean, was it, like, targets? Was it, like, into a bucket? I mean, you know.
Yeah, you had to throw into different targeted areas.
It was just aiming at things, and he was very good at it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just curious, like, what the skill
was. I was more
like,
into
the
interviewing.
Was.
We'll
and
see it today. Let me stop and get some booze.
And it was more Eli is my favorite Manning, and I like everything that I heard from Eli because I think Eli – has a sort of dry sense of humor you appreciate. Peyton kind of tries to be funny and is, but I'm an Eli guy.
It's only the question that everybody wants to hear.
Did you like hearing from Jason and Travis Kelce shooting down their brotherly storyline on the New Heights podcast? Did you like them shooting down the idea of the Kelce Bowl? Said Jason, can we stop calling it that? There's a lot of guys involved with this. Mayor organizations involved. We're going to be asked about this question nonstop until the Super Bowl, and I'm already over it. So do you like the Kelce brothers flushing the idea of the Kelce Bowl?
Well, they're going to have to repeat themselves on Media Day at the Super Bowl right. In Arizona. So that's okay. And if they can, it's kind of like, oh, that's okay. You know, let's not talk about me. What else do we have to say about me? It's okay. I like both these guys. They're very likable because they come across as being very relatable. And they may not want the story or the attention, but they're going to get it regardless of what they say. And actually, the more they resist, the more people are going to probably want to address it. We might not be talking about it this morning had they not said, don't talk about us anymore.
It's true. It's true.
So I think the more they kind of distance themselves from the spotlight, the more the glare will find them. And I'm glad for their parents. This has got to be an unbelievably proud week. For the Kelce family, I think both guys are worth our attention, and I hope they get as much as they have earned.
But part of their attention is the podcast and everything else. Like they can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They're both really good players, and I enjoy both of them a lot. But I think they should embrace it more than anything. Don't flush it. Don't try to give it the Heisman. I would be more embracing this than not. I get the idea you're sick of answering the question, but that you guys mentioned Media Day. You know, unfortunately, it's like Media Night now. You talk about an event that they have absolutely ruined.
Hijacked.
Yep. I mean, hijacked. You know, the NFL Network has taken over, and it's just a bad
event. It wasn't that great to begin with, to be honest.
I have some great memories of that.
Like, we would go and then just wander around and try to catch any Chicago-connected guy and get information from them. And it was, like, obscure. Hey, this guy was a backup whatever.
But it was so interesting.
But it was fun. And everybody has a life story. And everybody – I think that's what I loved about it. Not the guys at the podium that you already heard from. But, you know,
fair enough. Yeah, I remember those
days.
That was the advantage when you find the nooks and crannies to explore.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, talk about story gathering and telling. There was a lot of that there. It's just not available these days. But listen, it's a cool podcast. I like both the brothers, and I think they should embrace it. I don't think they should try to distance themselves from it.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, it's really kind of interesting to me. That the difference between the two guys. It's the first time brothers have been in the Super Bowl, but the one guy is, you know, how do we judge Jason Kelce? Well, you know, he snaps the ball. There's no fumbles. Look at him on goal line. Oh, you know, Travis just caught another pass. Like, it's hard to judge which one's going to have the better game because the one guy is And he's the one that's doing most of the talking about that he doesn't like the Kelce ball because he's one of five. He's in the team within the team. He's a leader of that group. He's the low man when you're trying to get that extra yard. Yeah. I find it fascinating the difference between an offensive lineman and even a tight end. You know, a wide receiver is obviously the personality is a lot bigger and they're like kind of look at me guys. Travis has a little of that too.
Well, just remember, he's a former quarterback.
That's right.
Still thinks
that's
like
right.
one.
There you go. But I think it's fascinating. I think Travis Kelce is going to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure about Jason. If he is, and I'm not saying he won't be, then, you know, Olin Krutz needs to go in first.
Five-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce.
Olin was six, right?
But he should keep talking and keep doing these things because that will help him get there. So don't worry
well, how
about
old
your teammates.
He's like 33, 34. Yeah, he gets to
a second level.
He's a good player.
Outstanding.
I agree.
He is a pulling center that gets to that second level.
That is a player that only Dustin could love. You're the only man in America that would rather Jason to Travis.
And you talk about shirts in, jocks tight, socks tall.
Oh,
I mean, that guy's like all buttoned up
that's
and
the Kelce,
in.
That's the Kelce way.
Yeah, I like it.
It's on the family kitchen wall.
That's kind of a sneaky question. You try to get something out of me.
Micah Parsons of the Cowboys has been criticized on social media and by some talking heads for wishing the Eagles well in the Super Bowl and telling them to win a title for the division. Parsons called those people sick. How would you, a typical Bear fan, feel if a Bear star player were to wish the Packers good luck in the Super Bowl like Parsons did?
I got no problem with Micah Parsons, you know, because that guy, he walks the walk. Okay. So if he wants to talk the talk, he can do it all day as far as I'm concerned. I think that guy, he said a couple of things, right? That we took, one of the comments he made is a direct insult to the quarterback. He said they needed to draft a quarterback. You know what? They're going to draft a quarterback. They've said it. So it's true. I got all the time in the world from Micah Parsons. Would I like hearing a Bears player congratulate the Packers and say he's cheering for the Packers? Probably not. I think what's fascinating is how bad that division was a year or two ago, and now you got Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, and I guess by all accounts they had the easiest road there. Their strength of schedule is something like 31st in the NFL, according to Sagarin ratings. And I believe the Chiefs were 16th. So when there is more than a 10 win or loss, the team is like 80% likely to win. So this favors the Chiefs very much so, believe it or not, the strength of schedule thing. So it's cool. I like Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons is a really good player. He's a disruptor. But no, I would not be a fan of a Bear player wishing the Packers good luck in the Super Bowl. Absolutely, positively not. I would do everything I could to cheer for any other team in the NFL. You know, there's like a famous shirt out there, you know, Bear, my two favorite teams, the Bears and who's ever playing the Packers, right? The same thing, the Cubs and who's ever playing the Cardinals type of deal.
That's the Southside Irish song.
Will Micah watch
the
game?
White Sox and whoever plays the Cubs.
Will Micah watch? That's something that has, since the years I've gotten involved in this business, that has knocked my socks off. How, in football specifically, how many guys you talk to leading into they don't watch these games?
I wouldn't want to watch it. They beat you.
No. But, I mean, you don't watch the Super Bowl?
No, I wouldn't want to
watch
it. You're
an NFL player that doesn't watch the Super Bowl.
I would probably go to a Super Bowl party, maybe make an appearance, but I wouldn't want to watch the game. And watch the team that eliminated us.
Well, I'm not saying the one that eliminated. I'm talking like if you're a member of the Houston
David
Texans.
David would work out during the game.
Well, you could run and listen to it on Westwood One, so you don't get antsy.
I don't know.
I just can't believe they don't watch the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they need to watch Thursday Night Football and Monday Night Football, but you don't watch the biggest game.
You spend your entire part of your job is watching tape. Part of your job is watching other teams play. I don't know that you want to probably watch another team play if you're on vacation. I don't know. I get it. I don't have any problem with what Micah Parsons said. I think this is an intentional plant of a question because I knew that it would trigger Dustin to some degree. And I thought that would be fun to hear because you do speak on behalf of probably the way a lot of fans look at it. But I think that Micah Parsons, in wishing Lane Johnson well and telling the Eagles to win it for the division, that's a act of sportsmanship. That is a guy being the consummate professional, showing respect.
That's a guy that's broken his arse against that team and faced some tough players.
Understands what it takes to get to that point, understands how good they actually are, and says, you know what, go win it for the division. Kind of unspoken is that we'll be there next year. We're going to be there next year. Good for Micah Parsons, and I don't know that I would go as far as he did in calling the people criticizing him as sick, but I would be fed up with the kind of criticism for just being a good guy.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
I thought this was the question that was trying to get me triggered.
Oh, that too.
What do you make of reports that Notre Dame OC Tommy Rees is heading and is headed to Alabama to perform the same role for the Crimson Tide? Is it a no-brainer that you take that job, or is it a difficult decision for Rees, who was a quarterback at Notre Dame? How would you advise him?
The plane did arrive in South Bend. It was headed back to Tuscaloosa, and we saw him getting into a van and going to a meeting with Nick Saban. It's over. It's over. We don't know that for sure. If you're meeting with Nick Saban and you are there and you've considered it in your mind, you're going to leave South Bend and get on a flight, a private plane, to go meet with Alabama, you're gone. Your good is gone. If I'm giving Tommy Rees advice professionally, you're 30 years old. You have a head coach at Marcus Freeman in his 30s. If you want to be the head coach at the University of Notre Dame, it's not going to happen in terms of making that next step from offensive coordinator for Notre Dame and the head coach. You got to go away. You got to go away from the family. You've got to go to another job, another campus, another program. Ideal situation for Tommy Rees. Ideal opportunity for a 30-year-old assistant coach. Good for him. Good for his family. I don't know that he has had the greatest run at Notre Dame, but he certainly has done enough to impress somebody the caliber of Nick Saban. And if it's good enough for Nick Saban, it's good enough for me. Congratulations, Tommy Rees.
Yeah, I saw the photo of Air Force Saban at the South Bend Airport. Nice fancy ride. Remember yesterday I had offered to be an Uber driver for the Bulls, take them to O'Hare or Midway. By 10 o'clock tonight, I'm pretty free for the rest of the weekend. I think I can get down and back to Alabama. I'd be happy to take Tommy down there, as long as he doesn't talk. Good riddance. Okay,
you are
out. Let's see what Tommy Rees's offense does when you got a bunch of guys that are going to play on Sundays in it. Yeah. He did not do nearly enough for me at Notre Dame. Not nearly enough. Notre Dame can do better.
This next January when he's wiping confetti out of his hair.
Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. This is a no-brainer of all no-brainers. Tommy Rees, one question. Do you want to be a head coach, whether it's Notre Dame or anywhere else? You go, you work with Saban, you start winning some titles, and you're going to go anywhere you want. You're going to write your own ticket. People are going to be lined up to try to get a piece of the action. And you're going to watch football coaches and people. You're going to meet people. That one guy might be your defensive coordinator when you leave. That Alabama is top shelf. Saban is the best college coach in the country. You work for him, you're going to learn a ton, and you are going to get offers all over the place. So if I'm Tommy Rees, it's unfortunately, he might want to stick around. He may love his job. He may love Notre Dame. But it's the best thing for his career. And I got to tell you, Dustin, you badmouth the guy. I know his dad. Bill Rees worked with the Bears. Bill Rees isn't a good guy. He's a great guy. He's a great man. I love Bill Rees, and I'm a big fan of Tommy as a result of knowing his dad. It's as simple as that
Same.
For me.
Absolutely well put.
Great
I don't
guy.
Think I'm bad-mouthing him. I don't think he's a very good – I don't think he was a very good quarterback at Notre Dame. I don't think he's a very good offensive coordinator. That's not
he never liked him as a quarterback. Listen, if Nick Saban's coming for you, you're pretty damn good. And
I'm shocked. I hope for those people that don't like that Alabama, this is a good move because he will ruin Alabama.
No, he won't ruin Alabama.
Is crazy,
wait and
Dustin.
See until what his offense looks like when you actually have weapons that
I'm
are going
curious.
Straight to the NFL.
I will say that. I am curious, and I agree. It's a no-brainer. If Nick Saban calls, you go.
The moment he got on that plane, he got smarter.
All right, we've got that extra point next. I told you we were going to have a lot of fun today. I love this stuff. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What is the better day to honor the legacy of Michael Jordan? Today on 2-3-23 or 2 weeks from today when the Bulls legend turns, can you believe it, 60. Is it a trick question? Is every day the best day to acknowledge Jordan's legacy?
Absolutely a trick question. Let's face it, we are in Chicago. Every day is Michael Jordan Day. Is there another athlete? He has not played or represented a Chicago team in 25 years. It'll be the 25th anniversary in June and of that 98 team. And yet, I don't know that there's been an athlete in that 25-year period celebrated on a more regular basis in the city than Michael Jordan. Even now, today, the most ideal of days, 2-3-23. Yeah, today is a perfect day. His 60th birthday, we'll do it again. And then we'll do it again probably on some random Wednesday in March because something will remind us of the flu game or something will remind us of the shrug or something will remind us of, boy, it'll be the All-Star game because we'll have the opportunity to reminisce about the dunk that he took off from the free throw line. Or maybe it was the top of the key. The legend will grow because it always does with Michael Jordan. It's the greatest thing because he was here and he had a decade unlike any other, and the dynasty endures. So, yeah, today is the ideal day, but there's never a bad day to celebrate Michael Jordan in Chicago.
No, I don't think there's ever a bad day, but I think I love the numerology of it today. I think that's pretty cool. Listen, Michael Jordan's the best. He's fantastic. We are so lucky to have had him here in Chicago. So any day is a good day to cheers to Michael Jordan.
Greatest player in Chicago sports history. One of the greatest players in the history of professional sports in North America, maybe the world. I mean, we talk about the Bulls going to Paris, and there are fans that grew up on the legend of Jordan, and it's a real thing. I would celebrate it all the time. I mean, we're talking about Tom Brady retiring. He's like Michael Jordan. He won all these games. I mean, what Michael Jordan did as a guy in the finals, as the MVP in the finals, as the guy that made sure his team won in the biggest games of the year. No one has been able to achieve what he has done in terms of just being a guy that made it that often and won every time. It's just extraordinary. He could raise the level of his game whenever he wanted to. He was an amazing talent. And I don't know that we'll ever see the likes.
I think we celebrate Tom Brady, and nobody's going to take away anything from the 7 Super Bowls, but it's a career defined and respect that's earned based on longevity and consistency,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there was such a solid nature to everything that he did, the 333 career starts, never being out of playoff contention. With Jordan, you had the same kind of thing. The durability, the consistency, but you had the spectacular moments, which
yes.
almost make it more
it's true.
Grand when you in your memory because you remember the spectacular things you're seeing right on the screen today, right now. One of the top 10 Michael Jordan moments, they're recounting this on 2-3-23. The other thing, Mully, okay, to answer the question maybe directly and better, the ideal day to celebrate Michael Jordan might be next Friday. Because we'll wake up and LeBron James will be the all-time leading scorer in the NBA in all likelihood after playing the Bucks on Thursday night in L.A. That's likely the game that he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So maybe next Friday we should reserve that as a celebration in Chicago as the greatest player ever.
Can Mike turn 60? Are we allowing that? Is that humanly possible?
I don't know.
From today. It's pretty extraordinary.
2 weeks from today is his birthday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
His 60th birthday.
This is his month then. Let's just give him the month of Jordan.
He deserves this month every year, for God's sake. All right,
exactly.
I like it.
Great Mike's born in February.
312-644-6767. Stop yourself. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
It's everything, and I just hope anybody out there, whatever field you work in, never listen to the outside noise of people doubting you, counting you out, everything, As long as you're true to yourself and believe in yourself, you keep putting in the work,
With a genuine heart and genuine passion, you'll be rewarded.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's always good to hear from DeMar DeRozan. I love the way that he is approaching his career these days. It seems like every honor, every acknowledgement means more to him. Every trip he takes, he's concentrating on, can you believe I've made it here? Can you believe this is going to happen?
Takes nothing for granted.
It's great.
The path he has taken to NBA stardom is appreciated. Because he doesn't believe like he's entitled to anything. He's worked for everything. And so you like guys like that. Here's a question. Whether or not he's deserving or not, that's debatable. It's one of the fun things about all-star teams. And you can look at who got snubbed and who might not belong there. This is probably as a reward for the second half of last season, as much as it is the first half of this one. But the all-star game is February 19th.
Yeah.
Will DeMar DeRozan be representing the Bulls on February 19th, or will he be in this weird predicament where he was named to the team as a member of the Bulls, but he was traded before the deadline to fill in the blank?
Wow. That's a good, that's a really fun question to ask.
Because
it's
conceivable.
It's like Roquan, only you're much closer to the Pro Bowl, right? I mean, if you trade him now, you're trading an all-star player, and I hadn't thought of that.
Well, we've seen that in baseball where teams will get rid of somebody and they'll make the all-star team, and I think we have even had an example like that in Chicago in recent memory. But I do wonder, because of the uncertainty, and really what we talked about in the first hour, the intrigue and secrecy surrounding the Bulls' intentions. We don't know how close they are to dealing DeMar DeRozan. They may not even consider it, but you would think that if you're looking to change the makeup of your team, a team that is underachieving at this point in time, part of the conversations have to revolve around, well, what could we get for DeMar DeRozan at this stage of his career? Hey, look, he's an all-star. He could get us something in return, and he could change the mix of this group that doesn't fit together this year quite as well as they did last season. So, yes, he would definitely be a guy among the top possibilities of being traded.
He's your best player. You know, he's also got some age on him.
So he is your best player. He's 33.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at it that way, then that would be a really interesting thing to have happen. I think that his time in Chicago has helped him a ton. I think that the way that everybody appreciated how great he was last year, I think it's changed the way people look at his career. I think that he is now a no-brain Hall of Famer. And I don't know that he was that when he arrived in Chicago. But I think that he's justified everything that he's done in his career, and he's made himself into a better, a more marketable star than he was when he was in some of the – you know, San Antonio's had great success, but that's a hinterland city. That is not one – that is front and center, ditto Toronto. You're in a different country. I mean, he still was great there, but I don't think people appreciated him as much, and myself included. I always knew he was a good player.
I agree with
that. Until he got to Chicago.
Toronto and San Antonio, very different than starring in Chicago on this stage. And why is the stage so big? Well, on 2-3-23, we don't have to tell you why. It's a big reason and a big byproduct of the Jordan era. The fact that when you succeed for the Chicago Bulls, everything's a little louder. Everything's a little brighter. And so DeMar DeRozan excelling during his short Bulls tenure, yeah, I do think that you're right. It changes the way that we will view his career. The legacy is enhanced by his experience and tenure with the Bulls. He deserves, because he'll have the numbers, to go into the Hall of Fame. I don't know how quickly that'll happen. You know, the criteria for different halls is very different, and you know, we can debate that. But in the now, in the context of what's going to happen over the next week, I do find it fascinating, because he is their best player this season. Is he their most tradable player, though, because of his age? Probably not. So you have the age that probably gets in the way of every conversation about trading for DeMar DeRozan, and you've got the size of the contract that gets in the way of everything revolving trade conversations around Zach LaVine. And Vooch is a guy, because of his contract status, he's a free agent at the end of this season. That, to me, would scream urgency from the Bulls' perspective to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think he would be the number one guy if there's a market for him out there. Look, they've got a lot of one-way players. You know, we got a texter complaining about DeMar not doesn't play an ounce of defense. They've got one-way players on this team, and they're loaded with them. The whole roster is loaded with them. And DeMar is a mid-range scorer. That's what he does best, and that's who he is. Obviously, I saw him hit a three last night. He can do that, but that's not his game. His game is he's a mid-range scorer. And, you know, I know Burnsy and his son do the podcast, and they complain a lot about the time he spends on the ground. And if he doesn't score, he's looking for to get the foul called. And I get it. I understand the flaws in his game, but he's been a hell of a – he's been a hell of an addition. He's justified his career in a lot of ways. He's in the top 40 in NBA scoring. I mean, give me a break.
He's legitimized this Arturs Karnišovas tenure so far.
I agree.
Because when you got him, you were different. And every NBA player is going to have parts of his game that are easy to identify and complain about. But DeMar DeRozan is special in the way that he's a throwback, and just in the way that he appreciates everything that's happening to him, and he's reflective at this stage of his career, it takes you back to a time where that's the way he learned the game. Yeah, he is the king of the mid-range game, but that's okay. You need guys like that. You surround him. What the Bulls have been unable to do is surround him with the kind of roster that makes this a winning, you know, experiment or a winning roster and talent, because they don't have a shooter that stretches the floor. It's not because of DeMar DeRozan, I don't think.
I like a lot of the guys on this team. I know that sounds like crazy, so what about that? I'm just saying it's a good collection of people. They're good players, but they're also decent people. I don't think Zach LaVine's a bad guy in any stretch. I think he's a good guy. And I think they got a lot of guys like that. The question has to be, are you going to win a championship with this group as it's currently constituted? And the answer is no. And so I think, therefore, anything's on the table. Whatever you name, I'm not going to argue with it. I don't know that it's like a blow it all up completely, but I think they need a lot.
There's no trade that they can make in the next week that you're going to look at and say automatically, boy, I don't understand that.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so, because I think we've reached a conclusion that this is not a playoff team, that they are a play-in team, and is that good enough, and does that matter? I mean, let's say you play your way in. Do you get anywhere? Can you then pull off some big upset? It's just
what you just said will prevent them from taking the aggressive approach at the deadline in terms of adding, right? You wouldn't go out and trade a future draft picks because that are dwindling in supply that you don't have, and you've already kind of sacrificed the future there. I don't think that you would be motivated to go out and add to this group because of the limitations of the roster. So what's the other option? Well, from a business sense, you've got to make sure that you don't let Nikola Vucevic walk without getting anything in return.
Right.
That's a real possibility.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere with him, so you better make sure you get something before he goes.
It's a great point,
because you're not going to resign him.
No, you can't resign him because it hasn't worked. Yeah. So yeah, you got to move him.
So I think he's probably the most likely to go. The DeRozan of the three might be the most unlikely to go, only because of what we hear from reports about the interest in Zach LaVine.
Right.
In spite of that massive contract, and maybe by now, 6 months later, the Bulls look at that as an albatross. We don't know because they're not saying.
Yeah, and I mean. Look, they gotta. We don't have a timeline. I think that's the important thing to remember when it comes to this Bulls team. Because if you had a timeline on Lonzo Ball, then you would have a timeline on when you think you can see them play as a complete team. That doesn't even exist.
It's everything's too vague about his future and thus the Bulls' future.
Yes. So you have to keep that in mind when you start to rebuild your team here.
My favorite nugget about last night in the victory over the Hornets was that Io, who had 22 points for Io DeSumo. That was a great effort for him. But I love the nugget about him texting his teammates in a group chat earlier in the day and saying, okay, we got to go now. Basically to that degree, something to that extent was like, all right, we can't have happen tonight what has happened before. We've got to be focused. We got to be locked in. And for a player that young to take on that kind of role with this group.
In a professional
says a
basketball
lot.
Team.
So that's a guy you like to have.
Yeah.
Even though his he leadership. Has been rumored in trade conversations as well. That's a guy you liked. He's a winning player. And you like to keep those guys in the organization.
He and Kobe combined for 45 points.
How about that?
The two of them combined for that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.